Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our midweek contemplative service. I thank you for your presence tonight in the sanctuary. Just a brief announcement that in 2 weeks from tonight, we'll begin a new format for the Wednesday evening services. In years past, we've focused on the lectionary readings for the day, but for this fall semester, we'll take a chapter at a time through the book of Ephesians and work through Wednesday by Wednesday, a chunk of the book of Ephesians. In addition to the scripture reading for the evening, we'll also pair the scripture reading with an excerpt from a mystic in the Christian tradition. And so in that way, we'll be edified by the scripture and the experience of mysticism, interpreting the scriptures, especially the book of Ephesians, with an inner dimension. And so we begin that wish this fall, and that'll occur in 2 weeks from tonight. Thank you for your presence, and it is a blessing to be together. And thank you for all who are joining us online, wherever you might be, and whenever you might experience this service. We send the love of God to you and feel your presence with us tonight. Let's take a moment just to ask the Spirit to be our teacher tonight and to bless each of us on our journeys as we begin this service in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the Holy Living Trinity of Love. Amen.
The Gospel reading is from Luke 4. After Jesus left the synagogue, he entered the house of Simon. Simon's mother-in-law was afflicted with a severe fever, and they interceded with him about her. He stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up immediately and waited on them. At sunset, all who had people sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on each of them and cured them. And demons also came out from many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and did not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus left and went to a deserted place. The crowds went looking for him, and when they came to him, they tried to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, "To the other towns also I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love.
Our scripture reading tonight poses several problems to ponder. And the first of which is, what does it mean to be called the Son of God? What does that term mean? The second of which is, what does the word Christ mean? And the third of which is perhaps the most perplexing of all, how does one cure someone of a fever and cast out demons and heal people? Now, if we back up and get the big picture, passages like Luke chapter 4 are abundant in the Gospels. They are building the credentials of Jesus and bearing witness to what Jesus is, or was in this case, as we look back upon his ministry. The Gospels were trying to bear witness to what Jesus was and why it was important that he was more than just a man to these people. And as a result, you see that the beginning of his ministry is marked by these miracle stories or miracle events, or as the Gospel of John calls them, signs, the signs of God's presence and action in their midst. The signs of God's presence and action in our midst, in our personal lives, occur in all sorts of different ways. The subtle, just the very gift of awakening in the morning is a gift that none of us have control over. Driving here, I saw a new cross, one of many on the highways around the area, a new cross that's just been there in the last couple days in the median of 360. Someone died recently, struck head-on by another vehicle. They were driving home from church or from dinner or from work. They had plans for tomorrow. They were worrying about their 401k. They were talking to their kids. And their lives changed in a second. We don't know where our next breath will come from. And it's easy to think we're in control of our lives because we're thinking about our lives. But there's a real dimension here that we live by faith and we don't even know where our next breath will come from. And so the gift of life keeps us awake to life and invites us to be alive more consciously. We don't know where our life is coming from, and we don't know where our health is coming from. And so when people experience sickness and healing from that sickness, it's a big deal. And one of the markers or signs of God's presence and action in our lives are these miracle moments. Like I said, just waking up could be a miracle. Just getting home safely could be a miracle. Just talking to your kid could be a miracle. There are all sorts of miracles. In Jesus' day, the way in which his credentials were verified was by these signs and wonders dealing with the physical dimension of existence, in particular, dealing with people's sicknesses. And in this sense, Jesus was a therapist. He was not just a physical healer, he was a soul healer. And in this gospel story, we see both dimensions, the physical healing, casting out the fever that was perhaps killing the woman, and also casting out the demons, which to me represent the psychological dimension of so many ailments that we can't quite put our finger on, the physical and the spiritual or the psychological. Now, that is in many ways answering the how Jesus demonstrated the who and the what he was. And in this little passage, we can see both the who, he is the Son of God, the what, he is designated as the Christ, the union of the human and the divine in the one person named Jesus, and the how, by way of healing. How did Jesus demonstrate what he was and who he was? It's very important. How Jesus demonstrated what he was and who he was by healing people. This is very profound, that Jesus did not claim or have any great victory. Jesus did not have a multi-billion-dollar ministry promising all sorts of other things to people. Jesus was not extraordinarily successful in our standards. Jesus went about demonstrating who he was and what he was by healing people. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. And so it's easy for us standing back all these centuries to scoff at the spiritual dimension of healing, the physical dimension of healing that has been miracleized or turned into supernatural. It's easy for us to write this off and become jaded in our perception of these stories. In part because we all know people and have had experiences of ourselves of having these types of sicknesses and ailments and never being healed. And for the last 2,000 years, how many hundreds of millions of people have died without the benefit of having the who and the what showing up with the how of healing energy of God? So many people suffer at this very moment and do not get blessed with this kind of healing. So it's easy for us to kind of become jaded and say, this is just hyperbole. This is just a type of literature that is inflated and trying to invite us to a make-believe view of Jesus. I thought that way for a long time, and I became jaded in my heart, especially when I went to seminary. Seminary certainly killed my spiritual love for God. It's amazing I recovered. And in part, I recovered because I came into contact with the teachings of the work. The work ideas were like CPR to my hardened arteries. And the work can be quite fierce, so we have to be very careful, especially with hardened arteries. You don't want to jar them too fast. So the work can be fierce, but to enter into it gently. The gentler method that helped me and then rise from my jadedness and hear these types of scriptures again with fresh heart, soft eyes, was the presence and activity of the Spirit through centering prayer. Softening me, moving me out of my left brain, moving right next door to the right brain, integrating the two, and then moving down slowly into the heart, where the union of that left and right brain occurs so beautifully in the silence, without us doing anything. And so these two things have rehabilitated my wonder and awe of the how that Jesus demonstrated, the who and the what. I don't want to focus too much more on the who and the what, the Son of God title and the Christ title. That's the who and the what. We can talk about that another time. But I do want to focus more deeply on the how. And in particular, one work idea that helped me interpret these types of passages that were verifying Jesus' who and what by the how. The how is very important to verify the who and the what. Somebody put it this way recently. You got to have the goods. You got to be able to deliver the goods in this line of work. You can't just say something from a book. You got to be able to deliver the goods. And that's the case in lots of endeavors in human activity. If you can't deliver the goods, stop talking. I think this way about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. It's time, Mr. Rodgers, to deliver the goods. Bring us the Super Bowl. There's a point where talk only gets you so far by way of explaining and explaining and explaining and never delivering. And the point here is that Jesus delivered. He backed up the word that he was. In the beginning was the word, and the word became flesh, by the deed of God's presence and action through him. He backed up the word with deed, because he was both word and deed. He was both presence and action. And that deed that he did were these healing signs and wonders. Now here's the work idea. And for those of you who have never heard of this or heard of the work, please forgive me. But I'll use an illustration. I hope that helps. The work says that a miracle is simply a higher level law operating at a lower level. That a miracle is a higher level law operating here at a lower level. On this planet, miracles are when higher levels come down and operate on this level. Here's a simple example. A private in the United States military, as best I can understand it, has a footlocker. And in that footlocker, it has to look a certain way, and only certain things can be in that footlocker. And if you have other things in that footlocker that are outlawed, you're in trouble. A general can have a whole apartment full of whatever the general wants and a refrigerator full of whatever the general wants. Why? If the private all of a sudden opened his footlocker and there was a pizza and a beer, he would say, a miracle. If the general opened his fridge or her fridge and there was a beer and a pizza, the general would say, where's my steak? It's ordinary for the general. It's a miracle for the private. Higher laws coming down to the lower are miracles. So this one includes the belief that there is a higher law, number one, and the belief that there are, it is capable for higher laws to function on this planet. So if you interpret these miracle stories, these signs and wonders of profound healing, physical and spiritual or psychological, as indications of the presence of the higher laws operating, all of a sudden it takes it out of the realm of the mystical, out of the supernatural, and it's actually totally lawful. Because no one would argue with you that there are higher functioning laws in the universe. Somebody, some mind, came up with the law of gravity, the law of attraction, the law of supply and demand. These are laws that no one argues about. And when the higher law comes down and operates on the lower level, it looks like a miracle, but actually it's lawful. And it doesn't look like a miracle, so to speak, from the person who's at the higher level. It's normal for them. So here's even something more beautiful. At the higher or fuller dimensions of existence, like, for example, what we might call heaven, heaven is the place where what we call miracles is ordinary. Heaven is the place of extraordinary, but earth is the place of the ordinary. So these signs and wonders that Jesus accomplishes on this planet are demonstrations or peeking through of the higher dimension of the extraordinary dimension of heaven functioning on planet Earth. And by heaven, I don't mean, you know, just where all the angels are. I mean the heavens, the multiple dimensions of higher realms upon realms upon realms of glory and wisdom and power and beauty and goodness. Things we can't even begin to comprehend. But when you look at the James Webb Telescope images, you can begin to feel it. You can feel it in your heart that this planet is way, way, way down the great ray of order of things. This planet is just a private in the great scheme of the order of things. There are generals and four-star generals, literally four-star generals. There are just extraordinary levels of existence and being. It should only open our hearts to worship and glorify the great God of the heavens and the earth more than we could ever imagine. And so Jesus and the Gospels are easy to deride and easy to mock and easy to become jaded about because of these simple miracle stories. Why doesn't God do more of this sort of thing? But in this case, you would expect a higher level being to demonstrate their who-ness and their what-ness by the how of miracles. Ordinary things for their level, but extraordinary for ours. Now, what does this mean for you and for me? At a certain level, very little. At the very least, it should bring a degree of humility to our way of being and approach to the scriptures. To recognize that we're part of something that's so grand and awesome. And this humility then should turn us in the other direction and lead to awe and worship. That's the proper reaction to humility, is to worship. They're two sides of the same coin, or two swings of the pendulum. To be humble is to be freed to worship, because we're out of the way. And you can talk about no self theory all you want, but until you live the humble life, no self is useless. The more useless approach to understanding the spiritual journey of becoming a no self is to talk about and focus on how we are growing in humility, the ability to give away ourselves and to help and serve others. And the last way in which I think this is so super practical for all of us, and this may be a reach for us, but I think it's what Jesus was demonstrating, that the end of the power doesn't end with Jesus, that it was just a beginning. That Jesus came here to seed or reseed a new human race, you could say, to reboot the human nature, and that he was the exemplar of what was possible for humanity. And by hitting that reset button, the virus of the computer kind of goes away, and human beings, little by little, could replicate the Christ way and connect to the who-ness of what Jesus was and the whatness of what Jesus was, like a train connecting to its engine. And this is a long train called the church, the body of Christ, the saints, the great circle of conscious humanity. It's a long, long train of cars hooked up to the great engine called Christ, the Son of God, leading the way. If our solar system has an engine, which we call the sun, does it not follow, as it is above, so it is below, that humanity would have an engine called the sun? Why do we resist bowing to the one named the Son of God? It's so easy to be jaded about that, but as it is above, so it is below. And in this way, we have an example of what we are to become, sons and daughters of God, who bear forth the authority of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to replicate what Jesus was, what he was, who he was, and how he was. And that's the thing I want to end with, is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we tap into these higher energies, these higher laws, and they begin to flow through us. Now, we can't name it and claim it like we own it, but we can say, here I am, Lord, a vessel of the Holy Spirit, flow through me. I, in the name of Jesus Christ, I, in the name of the Son of the universe, claim healing for this body. I cast out this fever. I cast out this cancer. It is no longer needed here. And we can operate using the principles of the great lessons in truth, for example, claiming, making our claim on reality through our words and also through our deeds. So it all connects. It's very life-giving for me. This one little vignette of Jesus, which we can become so hard-hearted toward, if we open it up, it can begin to inspire us in whole new ways to see who, what, but also how. And we can ask the Lord to show us that we too would follow in the great way that he demonstrated, little by little, to be humble healers of the world. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's take a moment in the silence just to let the Spirit marinate in your heart these truths and ideas for your good and benefit. We pray for all our beloveds who are feeling sick or being touched with fever or any way in which their bodies are weakened. And we pray for their healing and well-being. We especially remember our brother Fred Sams on his recovery from pneumonia and all our other friends in this community who are in need of the touch of divine healing in their bodies, minds, or souls. Amen. In your most holy and precious name, amen. Thank you each for your presence here tonight. It's good to be the body of Christ in person. Bless you.